AFR app is a powerful tool, but it does have limitations. You can't use it to change the oil in your vehicle or get rid of carpet stains. It won't walk the dog, won't pick up the dry cleaning, or take the kids to practice. But while you're doing those things, you can listen to your favorite AFR content through the app on your phone, smart device, or Roku. Just go to your app store or visit AFR.net. Listen to AFR wherever you go with the AFR app.
Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good Tuesday morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Hope you're having a wonderful morning. Pastor Jeff here. I wanted to read to you from Ephesians chapter 2, such a great chapter in the Bible in the New Testament, written by the Apostle Paul. He says this in Ephesians 2, beginning in verse 1, "And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them, we too all formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest." And then the biggest conjunction in history, in the Word of God, the greatest three-letter word in the Word of God, Ephesians 2:4, "But." We're in this terrible state. "But God, being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. For by grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, in order that in the ages to come he might show the surpassing riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus." So Paul paints a picture in Ephesians 2. This is what your life was like before. You were dead and you were walking according to the course of this world. Did you know that the world has a course? Did you know in Romans 12, we are to submit our bodies and surrender our bodies and offer ourselves as a living sacrifice acceptable to God, which is our spiritual service of worship, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. The job of a Christian, we receive Christ, and what are our marching orders from the Lord? "Go therefore and make disciples. Be my witnesses. You shall receive power," Jesus said to the disciples, "when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses." Where, Lord? In Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the remotest parts of the earth, the uttermost parts of the earth. And we don't let the world squeeze us into its mold. We don't walk according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. Who's he talking about? He's talking about the devil. But we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, as the Lord himself is in the light. Well, I didn't talk much about the Super Bowl yesterday. My good friend Doyle Dykes was in town, so I welcomed him to the program. As I mentioned yesterday, I told Doyle this. I said, "Doyle, you have a standing invitation on the program." I just love that guy. He is one of the greatest guitar players in the world for that fingerstyle guitar. Doyle will be the first to tell you he's not good with a flat pick. So when you think of guys with a flat pick, Eddie Van Halen or Ted Nugent or some of those rock guitar players, well, Doyle doesn't play that way. He's got a thumb pick, and his style is most always country. He likes to say this. He said, "You know, I can play all genres and all styles of music, but they all just come out country." And so anyway, but he is great, and his hero, Chet Atkins and Merle Travis, he loves those guys, and So we always have a wonderful time when he comes to the program. But I didn't get to talk much about the Super Bowl with all the millions of people watching that game. I was rooting for the quarterback for New England, Drake May, a young guy, 23 years old, a very outspoken Christian. And I love that about him. Lots of Christians were on both teams. And so the Lord was proclaimed by both sides and good testimonies. But here was the one from Drake May before the Super Bowl.
Drake, you've been vocal about your faith this season. How have you leaned on the Lord throughout the year?
It's a constant in my life, knowing that, you know, one of the best things about a football team is that there's other brothers in the you know, on the team that are followers of Christ, and be able to, you know, share thoughts and sit down at chapel and, you know, listen to our chapel Mitch, you know, talk before a game is just so so powerful. And realizing, you know, the night before a game that, you know, we're in here, you know, spreading the word and listening to the word, and knowing that that's bigger than football, has just been such a thing for me to lean on and take my thoughts away from football and know that, man, this is my purpose, and this is why, you know, I'm here on this stage today, and be able to shine light on others and get them to follow Jesus Christ is what I'm here for, and it's what, you know, God put me here to do.
What a great testimony. He understands. He's a young guy, 23 years old. God put him here and given him that platform to play football, yes, but the main purpose is to be the Lord's witness. And when you're given a platform like that and you're put on this huge stage, it's a great opportunity to stand up and speak up for Jesus. And so I applaud Drake May. I know that he wishes he had played better. He didn't have a great game, obviously, and the Patriots were defeated by the Seattle Seahawks. And, you know, you ask yourself the question, okay, well, here's this guy, and he loves the Lord, and why didn't God bless him where he played, you know, the best game of his life? And you come back and you say, Isaiah 55, God's ways are not our ways. Strange are the ways of God from our perspective. I remember when Colt McCoy played in the national championship game 2009, the University of Texas played Alabama. And in the first offensive series that he had, I forget how many plays they got to play, four or five, something like that. They were moving the ball. Everything looked good. And Colt got hit on a quarterback run, and his arm went dead. His right arm went dead. And he said it didn't hurt. It just felt like his arm was asleep and it wouldn't wake up. Well, he couldn't throw the football and he couldn't play the rest of the game. And so right off the bat, our best player and the key to our whole offense is out of the game. And Colt had a great testimony at the end. He said, you know, I don't understand why things happen. I'm just paraphrasing. But he said, I know this, that my feet are on the rock. And I'm trusting the Lord, and God got glory from that. And so we don't understand why things happen the way they do, but we know that, hey, whatever comes my way, my job is to witness for Jesus. My job is to be salt and light. My job is not to be squeezed into the world's mold. It's not to go along with the course of this world. That's what unbelievers do. Listen to it again. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins. You're dead inside. You know, when we talk about being born again, why does a person need to be born again? Jesus told Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. He can't even see the kingdom of God. You're not going to get anywhere near the kingdom of God unless you're born again. And Nicodemus didn't understand that. He said, born again, why does a man need to, how can a man be born when he is old? He cannot enter into his mother's womb and be born, can he? He was thinking in terms of physical. Jesus wasn't talking in terms of the physical. He was talking in terms of the spiritual. See, what did we inherit from Adam and Eve? We inherited a dead spirit. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, now may your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete, blameless, until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. You're a house of three rooms, your spirit, your soul, and your body. With your body, you know the world beneath you, the physical world. With your soul, you know the world around you, the psychological world. And with your spirit, you know the world above you, the spiritual world. And when Adam and Eve sinned, they died. Just like the Lord said, the day you eat of it, you will die. And they died that day. But they didn't die in their body, and they didn't die in their soul that day. They died in their spirit. And that connection with God now was severed because of sin. And so we inherit that from Adam and Eve. And all their children are born dead toward God, born dead in trespasses and sins. David said in Psalm 51, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Not that it was sinful what she did, but that he was born a sinner. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. That's just how we were. We just went along with the crowd. We were part of the world, and we walked according to the course of this world. And we lived in the lusts of our flesh. We indulged the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And as the scripture says, we were by nature children of wrath. Now, remember this. I heard this from Robert Lewis. It was such a good word that I heard at men's fraternity years and years and years ago. He's talking about the depravity of man. You know, man is depraved. The T in the Calvinist 5 points of Calvinism, the T in TULIP is total depravity. Man is totally depraved. That means man can't save himself. That doesn't mean man is as bad as he possibly can be. You can have some non-Christians who are not moral derelicts, who are not sleeping around, and who are not, killing people and robbing banks and doing things like that. Total depravity doesn't mean you're as bad as you can possibly be. Total depravity means you're as bad off as you can possibly be before God. You are separated from God, and you can't save yourself because you're totally depraved. Now, I agree with the non-Calvinist, David Allen, comes to my mind, who says total depravity does not mean total inability. He said, hey, I'm dead to sin, but that doesn't mean I can't still sin. That doesn't mean sin still doesn't have a pull. It does. Now, I'm on paper, I'm dead to sin, but in practice, I have to fight against sin because it still has a pull. My flesh is not gone. It's not in control, hopefully, anymore, and it's been crucified. I've been crucified with Christ, Paul says, but my flesh is still barking out orders. I don't have to listen to it, and I don't have to obey it, but it is there. And so we see people today calling themselves Christians, and they're walking according to the course of this world. Well, that's from the old life. The Lord says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord, and do not participate in those things. The Lord didn't save us so that we would live the same way we were living beforehand. Come out from among their midst and be separate, says the Lord, and do not touch what is unclean, and I will welcome you, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. We have lots of Christians today, and they need to heed 2 Corinthians 6:17. They need to come out from the midst of the world and be separate and shine and share and be salt and light. And to know you can't go along with the crowd. You can't sit on the fence of compromise. Why? Because the devil owns the fence. And compromise is exactly what he wants you to do, what he wants me to do, what he wants us to do in the body of Christ. And we just go along with the world. We like what they like. We listen to the same music they listen to. We go to the same movies they go to. We rejoice at the same things they rejoice in. We weep at the same things they weep. See, we're just like you. And we, they used to call that cocktail evangelism. I'm just going to go to the bar with my friends and drink a beer with them, because then I'll show them I'm just like them, and I'll introduce them to Christ that way. But you won't, because they'll look at you as a compromiser. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. We're talking about going along with the crowd and going along with the culture. Hey, we're not supposed to do that. Come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. We'll be right back.
Candace talks about finding out she was pregnant. Thankfully, an ultrasound provided by Preborn allowed her to hear her baby's heartbeat.
The sonogram sealed the deal for me. My baby was like this tiny little spectrum of hope. And I saw his heart beating on the screen. And knowing that there's life growing inside, I mean, that sonogram changed my life. I went from just Candace to mom. Thank you to everybody that has given these gifts. You guys are giving more than money. You guys are giving love.
Preborn currently has clinics that do not have ultrasound machines. Would you consider a leadership gift and sponsor a machine today? These life-saving machines cost $15,000, more than most centers can afford. Your donation will save countless lives for years to come. Dial #250 and say the keyword baby, or go to preborn.com/AFR.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. We're talking about going along with the crowd, being one of those Christians that just tries to blend in. I'm gonna go along to get along. I don't want to ruffle any feathers, and I'm just gonna, you know, be one of those Secret Service Christians. You're not gonna really know that I'm a Christian, because I don't want to make too many waves. I like what Charlie Kirk said, the late great Charlie Kirk, who was martyred for his faith. He said, you know, we're called to be salt and light. Salt and light make a difference. They change the environment that they're in. When you add salt to food, you taste it. I had a friend of mine, he's passed on now, but he introduced me to adding salt to watermelon. I'd never done that before. And I remember he told me, he goes, oh, you'll love it, Jeff. It just brings out more of the flavor. Well, I'm not a huge fan of salt to watermelon, but it does make it taste different. You can tell, hey, something is on here. My wife, Debbie, is a big lover of salt. She likes to salt things. And, you know, without salt, things are bland. Well, we are salt and we are light. You flip on the light, as Jesus said, men love the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds are evil. John chapter 3 said, everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who practices the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be manifested as having been wrought in God. 1 John chapter 1 tells us, if we say we have, God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in the darkness, guess what? We lie and do not practice the truth. You can't walk in the darkness and say you're walking with God, because God is light and there is in him there is no darkness at all. So we have to heed the command from the Lord that says, hey, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. You can't participate in what they participate in. You can't ride the fence of compromise, one foot in the church and one foot in the world, and think you're okay. You're not. Now, lots has been said about this guy, Bad Bunny, Benito Antonio Martinez Ocasio from Puerto Rico. He's 31 years old. He goes by the name Bad Bunny. You know, everybody's been talking about, hey, that the Super Bowl. He sang all in Spanish. Nobody, you know, if you don't speak Spanish, which most of the people in America don't speak Spanish, well, you didn't understand what he said, which is a good thing, because people have been posting what the lyrics of his songs are in English, and it's totally pornographic, X-rated. It's like, good night, you can't sing that. And if he had sung that in English, it would have been censored. You can't say those things that he said. It's unbelievable, the lyrics to his songs. And not every single song, but some of the songs he sang there, I was asking, doing some research, and it said, well, how could people support this? And they said, well, he mumbled through some of the things that would be the most offensive, so you couldn't really understand those words. Listen, no Christian that's walking in the light with the Lord, now you can say you have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, and then you lie and do not practice the truth, but no true Christian can approve of that and say, oh, it was just wonderful. I just love Bad Bunny and all his extolling sexual immorality and perversion. That was just great. And so we have people that actually did that, and they were talking about, because they want to seem like they're just part of the crowd, part of the culture. I want to go along, and man, I really enjoyed that. What does that say about your Christianity if you enjoyed that? Okay, so I ran across this guy, Marcus Rogers. He's a black guy. He has a Facebook presence. And it says on his bio, we don't hand out lollipops around here. We hand out swords. No gummy bear Christianity. Well, this is what he had to say, and I really liked it, about Christians and the Super Bowl halftime program.
Listen, I know I'm about to make some of you angry, but some of you Christians literally make me sick. When I watch your videos and I look at your posts just defending the things of the world, and just, it sounds so lukewarm. I literally feel like I want to throw up, and God knows I'm not exaggerating. Like, it irritates me to my soul, because it's like I sit there and listen to you do these linguistic gymnastics, and you're talking and there's no Bible. And really, when I listen to you, it's like you're just defending why you're a coward. You're just defending why you love the things of the world. Because when I hear you talk, it's feelings and emotions and no Bible. And the Bible says, hey, they will not endure sound doctrine in the last days. It reminds me of the children of Israel. They had their armor on, they had their weapons, but Goliath was talking and they refused to confront Goliath. And David comes down and he's disgusted. He's like, why are y'all sitting here while Goliath is running his mouth? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine? Some of you know what you would do? You would say, David, I don't think you should have went out there and confronted Goliath. You should have gave Goliath more grace. You should have prayed for Goliath. That's what y'all would be saying on the internet. Listen, if there's a little bit of demonic in it, it's all the way demonic.
If it's a little bit of demonic, it's all the way demonic. Yeah, that's exactly true. So there is true north and there's everything else. And the devil is not just one liar among many liars. He's the master liar. He's the father of lies. And how does he come at us? He comes at us just a little bit off. That's how he gets you to buy in to his lies. He doesn't come at you 50 degrees off of true north. He comes at you just 1 degree off. Remember, I told you the one in 60 rule. For every 60 miles, it's an aviation rule. For a pilot, for every 1 degree you're off, every 60 miles you travel, you're going to be a mile off course. The one in 60 rule. And so you don't have to be way off course to get yourself in trouble. The 1 in 60 rule, that means if you're flying across the country, you're going from Washington, D.C. to LAX. The difference between landing at LAX or landing in the Pacific is just that 1 degree. And we have lots of Christians today that can't discern good and evil. And that's what Marcus Rogers was talking about. What are you doing? Why are you defending the perversion that was displayed at the Super Bowl halftime? It makes absolutely no sense. We have Jenna Ellis was talking about the guy running for Senate in Texas, and he's trying to defend abortion from the Bible. Well, God had to get Mary's approval before Jesus was implanted in her womb. Well, that's ridiculous. Every Jewish woman wanted to be the mother of the Messiah, and they didn't know how that was going to work. Nobody knew that this was going to be a divine encounter where the Lord, the power of the Most High, was going to overshadow her, and that which was in her womb was going to be holy. That there was, because she said that, how can this be since I'm a virgin? I don't know a man. How can I have a child? Well, she didn't have to give her approval to the Lord. She just said, "This is wonderful. I just surrender. Behold, the bondslave of the Lord. Be it done to you according to your word. Be it done to me according to your word." But we have this guy trying to twist the word of God, saying, the word of God really supports a woman's right to choose, and it supports homosexuality, and it supports transgenderism." And you're just scratching your head thinking, what in the world is going on? Listen, the Word of God doesn't support any of those things. The Word of God supports righteousness and truth. And truth is lacking in our land today. It's lacking in our country. And Donald Trump, for all his faults, he has a basic sense of this is good and this is evil, this is right and this is wrong. He has a sense of law and order. And, I was talking to some friends just yesterday. We were talking about the immigration situation, and have people that are hardworking people gotten caught up in the ICE raids? Yes. People that we would say that person is a good neighbor, they're a good person, they're good for our country, but they're here illegally. Maybe they've been here illegally 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. They're hardworking and all those things. Yeah, we grieve for that. But that's not the part of that's not the fault of ICE. That's the part of lawmakers. They could say, hey, if you've been here and you're not on welfare and you've been contributing and your record's clean, then we have a different, there's a different situation for you. But you break in here and you've been here for just a few years and you're causing all kinds of trouble, yeah, you're out. So I get that, but that's not the job of law enforcement, that's the job of Congress. So we have the command from the Lord to be salt and light. We don't go along with the crowd. You have to ask yourself the question, especially as it relates to things in politics, because as many have pointed out, and rightfully so, the church is getting too political. No, politics has entered into the realm of morality. And the morality is the realm of the church, because where do we get morals? We get them from God. We get them from the Word of God. And so when politics starts getting into morality, well, then the church better stand up, and we better speak up, and we better rightly divide the word of truth. And we need to, Hebrews chapter 5:14, solid food is for the mature who, because of practice, have their senses trained to discern good and evil. And we have to see where is the world going, the course of this world, Ephesians 2:2. We don't walk according to the course of this world. And when the world is cheering Bad Bunny and with all his filth, well, how can a Christian cheer that? We can't cheer that. Come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Now, there's some bright spots, and we see that because, we talk about, well, Christians shouldn't get involved in politics. Well, then what is left for the political realm. It's just all non-Christians. Well, they're walking according to the course of this world. So if we're going to be salt and light, we're going to be salt and light in that political arena. Daniel was a political figure. He was salt and light. He spoke to the king. He stood up for righteousness. He drew lines in the sand. Hey, I'm not going to eat this food. I'm not going to not pray for 30 days as you are telling me to do. And he had such a major impact. Nehemiah was a political guy. He was cupbearer to the king. These guys aren't all pastors and saying, well, I don't have anything to do with the church because the kingdom of God is not related to, as Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. No, they were plugged in. They were making a difference. They were salt and light. Now, Josh Hawley, senator from Missouri, is a bright light, and he wants to stand for what is good and right and fine and true, and he's making a difference on Capitol Hill. He spoke at Liberty University, and I wanted you to hear a little bit about what he had to say.
Because my conviction is this, of all of the things that our nation needs, of all of the needs we have in our society, all the needs we have in our culture, of all of the needs we have for better legislation and for good judges, there is no need so great as our spiritual need for revival. Do you agree with that?
Yes.
And here's the thing that you find when you open the scripture. When God pours out revival on a nation, he doesn't do it by hiring a social media influencer. He doesn't do it by hiring a pollster. He does it by anointing in power men and women of God. And I believe God wants to anoint you today. I want to talk to you today about the Gideon anointing. An anointing for power, an anointing for new direction, an anointing for revival in our nation. Because can I tell you, our nation needs it. Our nation needs it.
Amen. I didn't listen to all that he said. That was just a clip. He talked about Gideon. You know, Gideon was very reluctant. He's the least in his family. How can I deliver Israel? But God chose Gideon, and God used Gideon, and God literally wore Gideon, it says, like a suit of clothes. The Spirit of the Lord clothed himself with Gideon, and Gideon won a great victory, and Gideon delivered Israel by the power of God. I like that from Josh Hawley, calling us to be men and women of God, to come out from among them and be separate. Now, every revival, and our nation desperately needs revival, every revival starts with prayer, and we need to be people of prayer, people of the book. We will devote ourselves, Acts 6:4, to prayer and the ministry of the word. And both of those things are critical. We can't go along with the crowd. We can't go along with the culture. And if you think that the Lord doesn't notice those things and he doesn't care about those things, consider Psalm 50, where God judges. And it says this in verse 16, "But to the wicked God says, what right do you have to tell of my statutes and to take my covenant in your mouth? For you hate discipline and you cast my words behind you. When you see a thief, you're pleased with him, and you associate with adulterers. You let your mouth loosen evil and your tongue frames deceit. You sit and speak against your brother. You slander your own mother's son. These things you have done, and I kept silence. You thought that I was just like you. I will reprove you and state the case in order before your eyes." It's a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of the living God. We have an opportunity today to get ourselves right with him. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve, the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. When we come back from the break, we'll be taking your calls, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. Give me a call and let's talk.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email pastorjeff@fromhisheart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. We're talking about going along with the crowd. We see far too many Christians doing that. And the Bible clearly tells us, don't do that. Come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord, and do not touch that which is unclean. I remember when I first became a Christian, you know, the Lord, there was lots in my life that wasn't right. And so the Lord, he doesn't show us everything in our lives immediately, or this is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong. It's just overwhelming. You know, you can't fight, 100 different enemies at one time. So he would focus on this and then focus on that and focus on the other. And one of the first things that the Lord convicted me about was my X-rated mouth. As a 17-year-old high school senior, I was foul-mouthed. And so the Lord said, hey, you can't represent me that way. And taking God's name in vain. We're not doing that anymore. And I remember when I would take God's name in vain in those early days of my walk with Jesus, it was like a knife in my heart. How dare you do that? And I just, man, I can't do this anymore. And the drinking, I can't do this anymore. And the Lord just said, hey, you belong to me. And if you want your life to count for Jesus, you can't be going out with your buddies drinking. I said, well, Lord, I'm just having a beer. They're having six. I'm just having one. It's like, it doesn't matter. You look like you're drinking just like they're drinking. I had a guy tell me one time. He said, I told him I was a Christian and talked to him about Jesus. And he said, do you still drink? And I said, I don't get drunk. And he goes, I don't want to talk to you about Jesus if you're still drinking, because you're no different from me. And so I made a determination. I said, hey, if I'm gonna really reach these friends of mine that I used to go drinking with and partying with, if I'm gonna reach them, I can't reach them with cocktail evangelism. I have to come out and be separate. I have to walk in the light with Jesus so they see that, hey, I don't participate in the same things that you're doing, because the Lord is the one who gives me peace and joy. He's the one who meets my needs, and I don't need the things of this world to do that. And that's what gives your witness power. Well, we're going to the phone lines, 888-589-8840. We have David on the line from Florida. David, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Pastor, I've got a tough word I've got to say to you. The gentleman on your show yesterday was a very good friend of yours.
Uh-huh.
But when I was a little kid, I was made fun of a lot, and it hurt. And when I heard that man say that he wished his son would meet a girl that was attractive, rich, and stupid, because she'd have to be to marry someone like him, and that hurt me when he said that. And I thought, I was wishing and praying that he would have apologized on open air on the reverse side of his comment, which could be taken and hurtful. And I'm just sorry he had to say something like that. I'm sorry I'm sharing this on your national radio, but when I was mocked for a long time, and it really hurts, it still does now.
Yeah.
And I just feel like I've shared it with you.
Well, I appreciate you calling, David. He didn't mean it in that way. He was trying to make a joke that, you know, his son, you know, there's a joke out there that says, you know, where the husband says to the wife, why do you think he made you so beautiful and yet so dumb? They were having an argument. She said, well, he made me so beautiful so that you'd love me, and he made me so dumb so that I would love you. And so that's just, he was just making a joke. Obviously, he doesn't think that about his son, Caleb, and he doesn't think that about himself. He said that about Rita, you know, his wife, Rita. Yeah, she had to be dumb to marry me. So it's, he didn't mean it to be hurtful. He didn't mean that, like, I seriously pray for her to be rich and beautiful and dumb. He was just making a joke. But I appreciate you bringing that up, David, and I'm sorry that happened to you in your life. But anyway, thank you for listening to the program, and thank you for bringing that up to me. So God bless you, brother. We have Jim on the line from South Dakota. All right. Jim, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
How's it going, Pastor Jeff?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing good. This is a debate that me and one of my Christian brothers have round, and we debate this round and round and round. His philosophy is go out and give the gospel, make believers, and after you accept Christ, you can live how you want to live. And I'm like, no, that's not what that means. Because no one has an idle encounter with Jesus. And I look at it this way. If God, Jesus, wanted us to make believers, he would have changed the Great Commission that says go out and make believers, mm-hmm. not go out and make disciples.
Mm-hmm.
You give the gospel, share the love of Christ, but after you share the love of Christ, you make disciples. Get them beyond the milk stage. Because no one wants a bunch of baby Christians running around that can't eat meat.
Mm-hmm.
They don't develop discernment.
Mm-hmm.
Help them along the way to the best of your ability.
Right. Well, here's the thing, Jim. So you have to wonder, if a person never grows, have they ever truly been saved? And it's hard to know because Jesus said you'll know them by their fruits. And grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, are they, nor figs from thistles. Every good tree produces good fruit. Every bad tree produces bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor a bad tree produce good fruit. So you'll know them by their fruits. And so we look at somebody's life. It's not that we're judging them, but we're as one Bible teacher said, we are to be fruit inspectors and to say, do I see Jesus in your life based on the way you're living? That's James chapter 2. You show me your faith without the works, and I'll show you my faith by my works, because faith without works is dead being by itself. If you've truly been saved, you can't stay the same. There will be a change because, you know, when the Lord comes into your life, truly in a born-again situation, well, your life is totally different. You've been delivered from the domain of darkness and transferred into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins, Colossians chapter 1. You think you're going to stay the same? You know, I use this illustration, Jim, often in church. I'll say, you know, your life, think about a restaurant. A restaurant is failing, and all of a sudden it gets purchased, and it's under new ownership and new management, and it's totally changed. It's not the same restaurant that it was. It's been totally changed. And sometimes maybe it was a Mexican restaurant, and now it got bought out, and now it's a Chinese restaurant or something like that. I mean, it's just, it's not the same. And so, and that's a very crude illustration. When you talk about a human life that's really been surrendered to Jesus, well, he's going to come in and change things because he is the Lord. And if things aren't changing, then you have to ask yourself, did I really surrender my life to the Lord? Is he really in my heart and life? Because you can't keep living the way you are living. So I think that the situation, is it possible for a Christian to get caught up in the world, to get caught up in carnality? Yes. Is it possible for a Christian to yield to the flesh and get all fouled up in that? Yes. Good example is Lot in the Old Testament. The New Testament, 2 Peter chapter 2, calls Lot a righteous man. Lot is the guy who pitched his tent towards Sodom, then ends up living in Sodom, and had a miserable life, wasted his life because of compromise. He didn't lose his salvation, but he had a miserable situation in life, and he lost everything outside of his salvation because of his compromise. And he is a good object lesson to say, don't follow in his footsteps. Come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. So, Jim, I would say that a lot of those people that call themselves Christians that have absolutely no fruit, that they need to seriously consider if they've ever truly been saved.
One example, Jeff, and I'm sorry, I know you got other callers, but I talked to my pastor on Sunday, and one example he gave me was, there was a man that crossed the Niagara Falls on a tightrope, and he asked the people on his side, and you've probably heard this before, and some other people have, do you believe that I can walk across Niagara Falls on a tightrope? Mm-hmm. And they all rose their hand and said, yes. He did it, walked there and back. And then he said something to the extent of, do you believe that I can push this wheelbarrow across Niagara Falls there and back? And they said, yes. Okay, who wants to get in the wheelbarrow?
That's right. Yeah,
that was just like.
Yeah, that was Charles Blondin, the Great, that did that. And so, yeah, that's exactly right. Do you? It's easy to believe from the grandstands, but true belief is getting in the wheelbarrow. It's surrendering your whole life to Jesus. Is giving him your life. If you don't give your life to Jesus, he doesn't give his life to you. And that's what people need to realize. And so this idea that you receive Jesus as Savior, but you don't receive him as Lord, Jesus is not two people. He is both Lord and Christ. He is Lord and Savior. And so when you receive Christ, you receive the Lord. And Jesus said in Luke 6, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things that I say? Maybe I'm not your Lord. Maybe I'm not your master. So I agree with you, Jim. And we need to, in the Christian community, we need to look soberly at where we are. 2 Corinthians 13 says, examine yourself to see whether you be in the faith. Test yourself. And, you know, if there's not a desire in your heart to walk with God, to please God, doesn't mean you're not going to be pulled by sin, because we all are. Doesn't mean we're not going to feel that tug. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. Every Christian feels that battle internally. But a non-Christian, there's not a battle because there's no Holy Spirit in there. So it's just you're battling the flesh with the flesh. That's all you have is flesh. And Romans 8 makes it clear, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. However, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of Christ dwells in you, Spirit of God dwells in you. But if any man does not have the Spirit of Christ, guess what? He is none of his. He does not belong to him. So it's a good word, Jim, and I appreciate you bringing that up. And we need to test ourselves. Have we gotten in the wheelbarrow with Jesus? If not, today is the day to do that. So God bless you, brother. We have Gary on the line from Texas. Gary, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Gary, yes, I would like to ask you about Cain and Abel.
Okay.
But I'm at work right now. So could you just 1 second?
Yes. You got to think. Okay. And then we're going to
do. Yeah, Gary, I'll just, so I saw the note here. Where did Cain get his wife? Cain got his wife from Adam and Eve, because Eve is the mother of all the living. They were the first two people. Eve had lots and lots and lots and lots of children. And so all the people early on had to marry their sisters, and then had to marry their cousins and things like that, because that's all there was. So there wasn't, there wasn't a race of people. Adam and Eve were not a race of people. They were just two people. Romans 5:12 makes that clear. Through one man, sin entered the world, and death through sin came through that one man. And so death spread to all men because all sinned. And so Adam, Eve, all their children, Cain's wife was his sister, had to be, because that's all that there was. So good question. I appreciate that. We have Greg on the line from Mississippi. Greg, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Pastor Jeff, thank you for taking my call. Yes, your message just really hit home this morning with me. I was thinking of the young ruler in the Bible. Uh-huh. About, you know, Jesus said, take your possessions. That really hit home. And then just something on a personal note, there's been a lot of people just this season, for people have been dropping like flies around here, Pastor Jeff. And you know, I always hear, well, they was a good person. They was a this and that. But I never see any evidence of Christ in their life. And, you know, it got me to thinking, you know, when I felt the young lady that took my call, you know, heaven wasn't created for good people. Heaven was created for saved people.
Right.
And and I just really appreciate that. That's one of the messages I'm working here on, the encouraging word, that's that personal relationship, isn't it, brother?
It definitely is a personal relationship. And Jesus said, be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. If you want to get to heaven by your own good works, then the standard is perfection. But that leaves everybody out, because you're not perfect, I'm not perfect, we're not perfect, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, not even one. And what is the key thing in salvation? You have to understand that you are a sinner and you're separated from God and you're on the highway to hell. And when you understand that, and then it creates the opening for, I need Jesus. I need the gospel. He died for me. He took my hell. He took my sin. He rose from the dead. I need to put my faith and trust in Him and Him alone. He is the only one who can make me right with God. He's the only one who can bring forgiveness to my heart. When you understand that, then you run to Jesus and you say with blind Bartimaeus, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Well, thanks for listening to Real Truth for today. Go out today, shine for Christ, and share what great things the Lord has done for you, and God will use you as His witness. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.